Those of you that can, we could stand and pray together. Eternal Father, as we bow here in your presence this morning, this beautiful Lord's Day morning, Father, we worship you. We stand here on holy ground this morning, Father, in the presence of your great work, and we just humble ourselves before you, Father, just to honor you, to magnify your name. We thank you for salvation this morning. Thank you for sending a way, making a way for us to be redeemed, to be regenerated, to be renewed, and to given a hope, to be given a hope of eternal life. Thank you for that this morning, Father. I pray that you would especially bless those that shared this morning, Father, that you would just continue that work in them, Father, that work of faith. We pray for your blessing upon your word here this morning. I pray that you just quiet my heart, Father, and just I pray, Father, that you would touch our hearts through your word this morning, as you have already, Father. Our hearts are soft. We are very, very grateful for all that we heard this morning, and we just ask, Father, that you would continue to work deeply in our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, do greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together in this way for this very special occasion, a very special blessing to be here this morning. It's a joy to see each of you here, and we're just very grateful for the opportunity. I have just a short meditation here. Brother Steve told me that I probably wouldn't have a lot of time, and so we'll try to share a few thoughts here. We'll be reading a couple of passages here in what's begin in Hebrews chapter 2, and I have there's a part of me that feels that with everything that's been said, we are tremendously accountable this morning. As we sit here and we hear of what God has been doing, things God has done in the lives of these brothers and sisters, I think of the accountability that now rests upon us as we consider what God can do and what God would like to do and what God will do when we humble ourselves before Him. And so we're very responsible here this morning. As we listen to these things, it's no small thing to witness the working of God in this way. That's no small thing. I'd like for that to just weigh on our hearts. Maybe we take it for granted. Maybe we don't think about it as we should, but it's no small thing to, testimonies of salvation, of an eternal salvation. So we'd like to read a verse here, a couple of verses here. It's a joy to be here. We'll try to move quickly here. I don't want to keep everyone long. But in this book of Hebrews, there's a book. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. There's this book of better things. There's this book that tells us of the new and better covenant that God has made with man, and it's a joy. It's just a tremendous joy. However, mixed in this great book, and I know that you're very familiar with this, are some of the strongest warnings in all the scriptures. And so we'd like to just think on a couple of verses here, beginning in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So the beginning of this passage here begins with the word therefore, and it takes us We could read all of chapter 1. We won't do that this morning. We'll read the first two verses. God, chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So here we're here this morning. We're a very blessed people. We live in the gospel age. We live in the new covenant age. We live in the age when Jesus Christ, when God sent his Son into the world to speak to us. God sent his Son into the world to speak to us. No longer is it Jeremiah and Isaiah, though we still read their writings and they speak to us. No longer is it some man out here declaring that this is the word of the Lord. Today we have Jesus Christ. And we're in a generation that is very, very responsible. And though we have this warning, we have a warning here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, and we've heard some glorious things this morning, some most beautiful and powerful and precious things. And so it feels a little bit wrong to me to end this morning service with somewhat of a warning. But the other a few days ago, when Brother Steve texted me about sharing this morning, these were my meditations, and so this was what was on my heart. As I prayed about it, I felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to share this morning. So I ask you, you'd bear with us. Bear with me here this morning. We'll try to move quickly. I'd like to focus on a couple of things, and we'll write them up here. But we are warned. The things that we have heard, and I think this would include the things that we've heard this morning. The many things that we've heard this morning. But we are encouraged to not let them slip. Not let them slip. We are encouraged. We are warned here not to neglect. If I missed a letter there, I don't know if you can see that. Probably can't see that in the back. We like to have a little bit of interaction here this morning. Some of you that are brave enough to speak, just to speak up in a setting like this. Let's have a couple of definitions of these two phrases or these two words. Can someone help me? What is the term "let them slip"? What does that mean?
Drifting away.
Drifting away. So we have drifting away. Anyone else? Let them slip. Would someone have an illustration? Just real quick, an illustration.
Be casual.
Be casual. Lower your standards. How about neglect? Anyone have any definitions for the word neglect? What does it mean to neglect something?
Ignore.
Quit.
Don't care.
Anyone else?
Lukewarm.
I have a few here. This is from the Webster's. But there's many more we could get. Well, one of the definitions on neglect would be to slight or to not treat with attention and respect. Another definition, to fail to receive or embrace, to neglect. We'll read the Amplified here. I'll read these verses in the Amplified. Maybe this might be helpful. For this reason... and then in quotations it says that because of God's final revelation in his son Jesus and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels. And I'd like to take note of that Jesus Christ is the final revelation to man. That's the final revelation. Jesus Christ, well, we are not expecting
God to come with another message for mankind. And we ought not to expect that. We must pay much closer attention than ever to the things which we have heard, so that we do not in any way drift away from truth. Thought that was powerful. For if the message given through angels, the law given to Moses, was authentic and unalterable, and every violation and disobedient act receive an appropriate penalty, how will we escape the penalty if we ignore so great salvation, such a great salvation, the gospel, the new covenant? For it was spoken at first by the Lord and was confirmed to us and proved authentic by those who personally heard him speak. Now I'll just move on from there. So I'd like to speak a few thoughts here on so great salvation. And I don't necessarily have a title here this morning. We'd like to speak about five aspects, and we'll try to move quickly here. But I'd like to for us to think about this morning this salvation that we've heard testified of, that brothers and sisters have experienced. And I'd like to think of just a few thoughts concerning that this morning. I'd like for us to think about, first of all, the divine origin of the gospel. I'd like for that just to settle upon our hearts this morning, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, of our salvation, is not a plan that man has come up with. It's not something that that some clever counselor or some genius dreamed up and put this plan into action, and now we kind of all try to do whatever we want to with it and try to make it work for us. But salvation, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God offers salvation to us today because he wanted to. Because he had decided that before the foundation of the world was laid. And I don't understand all those things. I just believe the Bible this morning. I don't understand all that. I don't understand, but I believe in my little way of thinking. I believe that there are aspects of the character, of the holy character and just character, the love and the compassion of Almighty God, that he could only manifest to the world and to the angels through salvation. I don't know that I understand all that, but salvation this morning, and I'd like for this just to settle upon us, if this could just settle upon us that salvation is not something man created. If some man comes up with a clever idea, then we can just do with it what we want. We can believe it. We can decide to discard it. It's not difficult, maybe. I should say it's not difficult for us to just neglect it. But brothers and sisters, if God has come up with a plan to redeem us and to draw us back to himself and to restore us and renew us, how shall we escape if we neglect God's salvation? It doesn't bother me so much if we... Maybe I'll leave that. That was a rabbit trail. So great salvation. Secondly, I'd like for us to think about this morning the high price of salvation. I like to think about so great salvation. I like to think of the high price of salvation. I like to for us to think about this morning. You know, we place value on things. We do. If you want to buy a piece of property, we decide, well, what would I pay for it? It's only worth to me what I'm willing to pay for it, right? I mean, if it's not worth that to me, I won't pay that for it. If it's worth more than that to me, I'll pay more for it. But this morning, God in heaven paid a high price for salvation, to be able to offer salvation to us. And I have for us to think about that this morning. We could turn to a lot of passages of Scripture, and you know them. We know them. God, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It says in Timothy, I can't quote all that. But he sent his son. He sent his son. It's an account, it's truth that God sent his son to this earth. He gave the most, I think it indicates to me, it indicates that the most precious thing that he had, he offered so that he could offer us salvation. That's what it tells me. Now I know we know that. We hear the gospel preached a lot. But this morning, what am I telling God when the things that I have heard, I'm just willing to let them slip? Convictions that I've had in the past, I'm willing to just let them fade away. What am I telling God when I'm willing to just sit under a meeting like this morning and then walk away and not do anything with it and just neglect it? I'm telling him that I don't value that nearly as much as you do, God. It doesn't really mean anything to me. You sent your son. You gave your life. You sent Jesus Christ, hung on a cross, and his blood dripped on the ground on this sin-cursed earth. And if you can picture that this morning, that's the price. God said it was very important to me to have a relationship with man. That's what he said. Those words are weak. Those words are very weak. And this morning, I can just be casual. Just let it slip. Just walk away. Oh, how shall we escape? The Bible tells me that the motivation was love. That's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world. This morning. Do you think he loved his son? Do you think he loved Jesus Christ? The son who had been with him there all the for eternity. We don't understand that, do we? Do you think he loved his son? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I just asked the question this morning. Can we just let it slip? Can we just be casual and half-hearted and lukewarm? The Son of God was delivered into the hands of sinners. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know, there's be one thing. It'd be one thing for God to say, "I'll offer a sacrifice for you, and I'll come down there, and I will hang my own son on the cross. Keep your hands off of this perfect sacrifice." Into the hands of sinners, and let them do it. Can you imagine that? Mocked, though they spit on him. They beat him. The Son of God. I mean, this is God's precious son. I mean, can we, you know, we hear the story and I think it gets kind of cold in our mind. You know what I mean? Maybe it doesn't happen to you, but it does. It does to me sometimes. God was watching when they scourged him. When they beat him and finally crucified him, God was watching all that. And because of love, he allowed that to happen. He allowed that to happen because he loves us. I don't know if that isn't an illustration of love to us, then I don't know how we will ever understand love. But it would do us well to spend some time meditating on it. Think of the old story. The story is not a good illustration, but I think of the old story of the man that operated the railroad bridge across, I think it was maybe the Mississippi River, and it was his job there daily to sit there and operate the drawbridge. When the trains would come, he'd open the bridge so the ships could go down. The ships could go back and forth on the river. But when the train would come, it was his job to lower the drawbridge, and so the train can go across. And so one day he's on wind, and as it can happen, things can kind of get mundane and habitual. And one day, and I don't know if this is a true story, it's an illustration, but one day he's on break, and all of a sudden in his mind he hears a train whistle, and all of a sudden it dawns on him that he had forgotten that the train that was about to cross in just a few minutes. He runs with all his might, runs back to his station, realizing that if the train comes through and the drawbridge is up, there'll be a tremendous crash and many people will die. And as he runs back to his station and he grabs the lever, and to his utter horror, he sees that his little son had been with him there that day, and he sees that his little son had slipped off the bridge and fallen down into the gears. And so now there's no time for him to rescue his son and get the train, and with an utter cry of horror, he threw the lever and put the drawbridge down and sat there and wept at what had just happened. And then he looked up and he saw the train going by, and he saw ladies reclined in their seats sipping tea, and he saw men reading a newspaper, and he saw young children in that train playing. And as he watched them go by, and he just cried out, I gave my son for you. Don't you care? Don't you care? The high price of salvation. That's maybe not the greatest illustration, but I wonder sometimes if God in heaven doesn't look down on us and say, I gave my son for you. Don't you care? Don't you care? So great salvation. I'd like to talk a little bit about, it's a great salvation. I'd like to talk about the life-changing power of salvation. And I know we don't have to spend a lot of time on that this morning. We've been hearing about it all morning. The life-changing power of salvation. The transforming power. I there's a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and we could read on there, but hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The life-changing power of salvation. I don't know if the time would fail me this morning to speak of the life-changing power of salvation. I know many of you have experienced it and you testify of it, and I'm thankful for that. But listen to these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But beautiful words follow that. But such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The life-changing power of the gospel. And I wonder this morning, we've heard these testimonies, but I wonder this morning what What am I doing with it? What if we just personally each took inventory? Hey, is the rifts in my marriage being healed? Or am I neglecting the power of salvation? And if I sit here and there's people in my life that I can't forgive, I say, I'll never forget what he did to me. But the power of salvation is manifested to us through Stephen, wasn't it? As the stones came upon him and he knew he was going to die here. And some of his last words, "Lord, lay not the sin to their charge." Completely forgave them. And I would say this morning, if there's bitterness, unforgiveness in my life, and I'm not willing to forgive or let it go, it's because I'm neglecting salvation. And how shall we escape if we neglect this salvation? You know, we live in the lukewarm age. I mean, could we just be honest with it? It's a lukewarm age. And anyone that manifests a little bit of zeal is called radical. Lukewarmness is very simple. We're neglecting our salvation. We're just neglecting. We're just letting it slip. It's just a neglect of salvation. You know, in salvation, there is hope for the prodigal. A complete restoration. The power is available. Oh, may we not neglect it. There's healing for the marriage. There's all those things we heard this morning. I ought to move on here. One more verse here. One more verse here in Titus. For we ourselves, Titus says, this was his testimony, for we ourselves, we're also sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Titus says that was who we were too. But after that, the kindness and love of God towards our Savior, towards man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We've been hearing about that all morning, and my heart just thrills. May we not neglect so great salvation. So great salvation. I'd like to think a little bit this morning about the eternal consequences of salvation. And here my mind fails me because none of us have ever crossed over there and seen what's on the other side. And so all we can do is go by the word of God. That's all we can do. Amen. Now, that's not the right way to say that. I realize that's not all we can do. That's more than sufficient. But the eternal consequences. I have no physical proof to offer you. I don't have physical proof to offer you. There's many things we could, maybe you could balance this, that there's a resurrection. But the word of God, it's clear. There's the testimony of Christ's resurrection and John's revelation. We could look at that this morning. But I'd just like to lift this up here this morning. This salvation has eternal consequences. There's eternity ahead. There's a hope beyond this life, and God has clearly spelled it out in his word. And I think I want to see those things. I want to see that vast multitude gathered around the throne of God and saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, because thou hast redeemed us by thy blood." And you know, I'm not getting all the words there. A place where there will be no more sin, no more temptation, no more opportunity to fall away, no more, the warfare will be past, and it'll be worship and pure and holy forever. And I'd like to, I just ask us this morning, that are you willing, you know, the Bible tells there'll be no sorrow there, there'll be no pain there, it says the former things are all passed away. But I'd like to ask us this morning, are we willing to let it all go because we simply neglect salvation? We just let it slip as if it was no big deal. Just casual. Hey, that's for some people. That's good for them. It's the only hope for mankind. Neglect of salvation. I need to close here. I'd like to, yet one more thing here I'd like to say. So great salvation because of its inclusive nature. I'd like to say that this morning. Oh, you don't have to be from a certain ethnic group. And you don't need to be from a particular background. You don't need to be formerly Amish or formerly Mennonite or Baptist or whatever name. You don't want to, it's for whosoever will. Oh, I think that's what makes salvation. It makes it such a great salvation because it puts us all on level ground and none of us are above each other. But I think of some verses. I think I'd like to read some verses here this morning. And I quoted one of them already. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. Whosoever is willing to come and meet the conditions of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, whosoever will, can experience salvation. We'll read a couple more verses here. I'd like for you to go home. I'd like for you to go home with that word in your mind. He said, whosoever. Whosoever. Does that include you? Whosoever. Whosoever. John 4:13 says, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Whosoever. You know, there's no person, there's people may try to hinder, but there's no person can stand between you and salvation. Whosoever will may come. Oh, it's a glorious gospel. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, it's glorious. John 11:25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We could read many more verses this morning. I trust that you're convinced this morning that the invitation extends to you. And I don't know where we're at this morning in our lives. You know, life is real, and we face challenges, and I'm very much aware of that. And I'd just like to say this morning that the gospel has the power. There is power. There is sufficient power in the gospel for each one of us to endure to the end. I'd like to just throw that out there, in case you're wondering. But the Spirit this morning, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Amen. Does the bride say come? Does the bride say come? Would you all testify that salvation, that you are thankful for your salvation? Would the bride say come? The bride is saying come. And the Spirit says come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I'd like to close here. Lastly, in closing, the Bible, we have considered this thought here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And just the question here is, escape what? Escape what? How shall we escape? And I don't know why this is on my heart here this morning, but I have a couple, just a passage here. It tells us here in if I can find it here. I have just a passage here I'd like to read, and I'll read this very soberly and carefully. In Thessalonians chapter 1, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. It is important, brothers and sisters, all of us together, and friends and neighbors, those of you who may never have been born again, but it's important to us that we not neglect so great salvation. And that these things which we have heard, even this morning, but many times before, and maybe I just wonder how many times before have we heard things like this and we just kind of let them slip. And we just assume that there will be tomorrow. I'd like to warn us, we heard a powerful message last Sunday about the brevity of life. And at the close of that message, I was just meditating. I was thinking about people that were close to me, people that I knew, people that were related to me, people that that died before they were 60 years old, people that died young. And I was thinking about that, you know, thinking about neglecting salvation. And we thought about, it came to my mind, I hadn't remembered that Brother Melvin Fisher was only 39 years old. And I say only because I'm past that. But this morning, I just want to ask you, plead with us together. Are we willing to really just let it slip? Are we really willing to do that? Let the opportunity just slip. I think of a man who falls out of a ship out in the ocean, and there he is, you know, he's just in the water, and he's trying to stay afloat, and there's a piece of driftwood comes by. Just imagine there's a piece of driftwood comes by, and he manages somehow to get a hold of that. You know, he's going to hang on to it for all his life because his life depends on it, and he's not going to just let it slip. He's not going to just let it slip. And we live in this lukewarm age, and I'd like for us to just consider this morning that our only hope is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only hope we have. If we would have hope of an eternal rest, an eternal bliss, and a hope of escaping the fiery vengeance of Almighty God, if we would have any hope of escaping that at all, it's our relationship with Jesus Christ, and we ought to cling to it as if our life depended on it. Amen. I'll just close with that. May the Lord bless each of you.